answer in its explanation. The feeling, indeed, that one has dreamt a great deal during the night and has retained only a little of it may have another meaning in a number of cases. It may perhaps signify that the dream work has continued perceptibly throughout the night and has left behind only this short dream. There is, however, no doubt of the fact that the dream is progressively forgotten on awakening. One often forgets it in spite of painful effort to remember. I believe, however, that just as one generally overestimates the extent of one's forgetting, so also one overestimates the deficiencies in one's knowledge, judging them by the gaps occurring in the dream. All that has been lost through forgetting in a dream content can often be brought back through analysis. At least in a whole series of cases, it is possible to discover from one single remaining fragment, not the dream, to be sure, which is of little importance, but all the thoughts of the dream. It requires a greater expenditure of attention and self-control in the analysis, that is all. But at the same time, this suggests that the forgetting of the dream does not lack a hostile intention. A convincing proof of the purposeful nature of dream forgetting in the service of resistance is gained in analysis through the investigation of a preliminary stage of forgetting. It often happens that in the midst of interpretation work, an omitted fragment of the dream suddenly comes to the surface. This part of the dream snatched from forgetfulness is always the most important part. It lies on the shortest road toward the solution of the dream, and for that very reason it was most objectionable to the resistance. Among the examples of dreams that I have collected in connection with this treatise, it once happened that I had to interpose subsequently such a piece of dream content. It was a travelling dream, which took vengeance upon an unlovable female travelling companion. I have left it almost entirely uninterpreted on account of its being in part coarse and nasty. The part omitted read, "I said about a book by Schiller, it is from blank, but corrected myself, for I noticed the mistake myself. It is by." Upon this the man remarked to his sister, "Indeed, he said it correctly." The self-correction in dreams, which seems so wonderful to some authors, does not merit consideration by us. I shall rather show from my own memory the model for the grammatical error in the dream. I was 19 years old when I visited England for the first time, and spent a day on the shore of the Irish Sea. I naturally amused myself by catching the sea animals left by the waves, and occupied myself in particular with a starfish. The dream begins with Holthern, Holothurian. When a pretty little girl came over to me and asked me, "Is it a starfish? Is it alive?" I answered, "Yes, he is alive," but was then ashamed of my mistake and repeated the sentence correctly. For the grammatical mistake which I then made, the dream substitutes another which is quite common with Germans. "Das Buch ist von Schiller" should not be translated by "the book is from," but "the book is by." That the dream work produces this substitution because the word from makes possible, through consonants, a remarkable condensation with the German adjective from, pious, devout, no longer surprises us after all that we have heard about the aims of the dream work and about its reckless selection of means of procedure. But what is the meaning of the harmless recollection of the seashore in relation to the dream? It explains by means of a very innocent example that I have used the wrong gender, i.e., that I have put he, the word denoting the sex or the sexual, where it does not belong. This is surely one of the keys to the solution of dreams. Whoever has heard of the origin of the book titled Matter and Motion, Molière in Malade Imaginaire, La matière était laudable, a motion of the bowels, will readily be able to supply the missing parts. Moreover, I can prove conclusively by a demonstratio ad oculos that the forgetting in dreams is in great part due to the activity of resistance. A patient tells me that he has dreamed, but that the dream has vanished without leaving a trace, as if nothing had happened. We continue to work, however. I strike a resistance which I make plain to the patient. By encouraging and urging, I help him to become reconciled to some disagreeable thought, and as soon as I have succeeded, he exclaims, "Now I can recall what I have dreamed." The same resistance which that day disturbed him in the work caused him also to forget the dream. By overcoming this resistance, I brought the dream to memory. In the same way, the patient may, on reaching a certain part of the work, recall a dream which took place 3, 4, or more days before, and which has rested in oblivion throughout all this time. Psychoanalytic experience has furnished us with another proof of the fact that the forgetting of dreams depends more on the resistance than on the strangeness existing between the waking and sleeping states, as the authorities have believed. It often happens to me, as well as to the other analysts and to patients under treatment, that we are awakened from sleep by a dream, as we would say, and immediately thereafter, while in full possession of our mental activity, we begin to interpret the dream. In such cases, I have often not rested until I gained a full understanding of the dream, and still it would happen that after the awakening I have just as completely forgotten the interpretation work as the dream content itself, though I was aware that I had dreamed and that I had interpreted the dream. The dream is more frequently taken along into forgetfulness, the result of its interpretation work, than it was possible for the mental activity to retain the dream in memory. But between this interpretation work and the waking thoughts, there is not that psychic gap through which alone the authorities wish to explain the forgetting of dreams. Morton Prince objects to my explanation of the forgetting of dreams on the ground that it is only a particular example of amnesia for dissociated states, and that the impossibility of harmonizing my theory with other types of amnesia makes it also valueless for other purposes. He thus makes the reader suspect that in all his description of such dissociated states, he has never made the attempt to find the dynamic explanation for these phenomena. For, had he done so, he surely would have discovered that the repression and the resistance produced thereby is quite as well the cause of this dissociation as of the amnesia for its psychic content. That the dream is as little forgotten as the other psychic acts, and that it clings to memory just as firmly as the other psychic activities, was demonstrated to me by an experiment which I was able to make while compiling this manuscript. I have kept in my notes many dreams of my own, which, for some reason at the time, I could analyze only imperfectly or not at all. In order to get material to illustrate my assertions, I attempted to subject some of them to analysis from 1 to 2 years later. I succeeded in this attempt without any exception. Indeed, I may even state that the interpretation went more easily at this later time than at the time when the dreams were recent occurrences. As a possible explanation for this fact, I would say that I had gotten over some of the resistances which disturbed me at the time of dreaming.